Welcome to Connected, the podcast brought to you by the Embassy of the Republic of Rwanda in Washington, D.C., where we share stories of connection and partnership between our two great nations. You can follow us on all major podcast platforms, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and all embassy social media platforms. In today's episode, I have the privilege of sitting down with Yehoyada, President of the United States Rwandan Community Abroad, or USRCA. USRCA is the official chapter of the Rwandan community abroad here in the US. It began decades ago with just a few small community groups and has now grown into 31 vibrant communities and continues to expand. So today we dig into the heart of USRCA. What is USRCA? What does it do? And who is it for? What are the benefits of belonging? Is it necessary to join? And if not, what might someone be missing? How do you join? Where is it located? And crucially, how does USRCA stay connected with Rwanda itself? Join us as we open this conversation with President Yeho to understand how USRCA is weaving together Rwandans across the United States, building bridges, identity, and community from coast to coast. President Yehoyada, welcome to Connected. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and thank you for accepting our invitation.
Thank you. Glad you invited me, and I'm privileged to be part of your audience.
For our listeners who may be hearing about it for the first time, could you start by introducing yourself and telling us what USRCA is?
Well, that's a good question. So I'm Yehoyada Mbangukira. I've been with the USRCA as an entity for a few years now. And the Rwandan community that I have the privilege of leading and being part of is an outgrowth of a desire to stay connected while we are outside of Rwanda. And many of us came to the United States from different parts of the country. So the world, and so as a result, someone or some individuals had the wisdom to say, how can we still have a community of Rwandans across the United States? So the state has, of course, 50 states, and we have about 31 communities that have come about over time. Before, in the 20 plus years ago, there was only a handful. So today we have 31 and more to come. And the push behind all that is a desire to have community in any state that we live in. And that's how each of those communities have become organized to indeed provide that community sense of Rwandan-ness here in the United States.
Great. If someone in the U.S. hears Rwandan community, they might picture cultural events or gatherings. How would you describe it beyond that? Or is it beyond that in the first place?
Oh, it's more than that. Yeah, so the gatherings are one thing. But I think one of the key things is that as people gather, they get to not only support each other emotionally, physically, and otherwise, substantially. There is many people who may not have had the Rwandan global experience, is that Rwandans are people who like to come together for any reason, whether it's support in one another, just entertain one another. But there is something about family that binds us. And beyond just the organization and meetings, within each community, each community has found a way to do cultural events for themselves. You know, it could be a 4th of July, Kwibohora, as we call it, Liberation Day. It could be commemoration. It could just be Omuganura, which is like a harvest season celebration. But all that, just so they can know that they are in a family of Rwandans 24/7, not episodic. We don't come together for events. We come together because we want to build a strong community. So that it's beyond just the organization, the mechanics. It is more of, can I see a brother, a sister that I can talk to, visit with, hang with, and just stay connected to the country in a way by so doing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. That's clear. On a personal level, was there a particular moment or experience that made you feel we really need a community like this?
My personal experience, that's a good question with what changed, what happened. My personal experience with USRCA is it gives accountability. There's a plus of accountability whereby we as Rwandans want to know where we are residing. One, are there challenges that others who came before have gone through, how to overcome those, and how to navigate life in America? Because sometimes you may have heard, there are those who come and there was something, people have won like green card lotteries and they have come, but they don't know who, where they can land. So having the RCA and the communities around the country, it gives many of the new Rwandans an opportunity to meet fellow Rwandans who can help them, handhold them through a process that could be complicated, that could be nerve-wracking. And so having the USRCA and the RCAs around the US, it opens up the opportunity for anyone to end up in any state and find Rwandans who have been there for a few months, years even, to help them through adoption to this new country. So it goes beyond that, whereby when somebody comes here and they may not know anyone, but suddenly the moment they connect with one, they'll say, ah, now I know. Now I have a sense of how far am I from my friend who is in Tennessee or a friend who is in Arizona or a friend who is in Ohio, based on them having identified themselves as new Rwandans. So the RCA becomes a network that supports, that receives, and that nurtures Rwandans once they come to this country, be it for a visit or a stay and or school. That is the value of the RCAs. And I think it is something that has changed over time. It used to be, like I said, going back to the 80s, most people, Rwandans who were here had come like either scholarships or was education. Very few were really American residents, very few. And most of them were like students and visitors. And so the face of America, at least the face of Rwandans in America, has changed. They have these citizens now. They come as citizens. They have children and they have lives that are all American. So that's how the evolution of RCA has had an impact.
For Americans listening, do you think a community like this has a place in the broader U.S. cultural landscape?
Oh, yes. Yes. This community matters. And one of the things that we think matters most importantly is we are not just another group of people. We are a group of proud people as Rwandans, proud in the sense that we want to integrate, but in that integration also be able to promote or share with our host country, host states, host cities, our culture. We don't want us to blend into Americana to lose our culture. So the importance there is our neighbors get to know who we are. Our neighbors get to know us as good, hardworking neighbors or guests or now citizens. And so that expands their knowledge of Rwanda, even maybe even beyond Rwanda, because many of us came from different countries. So I think that we add a layer of Americana which America is a country that welcomed many people from different parts of the world. As you may know, you find Asians, South Americans, and other Europeans who have made America their home. So Rwandans are among those. There's many of us, and we bring a flavor that America did not have. So we present ourselves and our culture. And so we have cultural events, and we invite all Americans to come to them so they can know we contribute to this country culturally and otherwise. Yeah.
I see. Benji Samaf, thank you. For Rwandans living here in the US who've never really thought about getting involved, do you think they're missing out on something?
They are missing a whole lot. And hopefully the good thing is we reach out. The outreach that we do through the different communities that we have, I said 31, is in my position as the president of the Rwandans here in the United States, I encourage all the leaders to seek out any Rwandan in the area and incorporate them into their day-to-day, just up to date on that, because it's important for us to know where they are, because sometimes when we are away from home, from our base, we may find ourselves to be strangers, but we should not be strangers. We should not be lonely, because we have enough Rwanda. They may not be in the state or city that you are in, but they might be the state over. So by staying in touch, whether you they check it online, the Rwanda community, they'll find, we have a website. They can connect themselves to the Rwanda. We don't want them to be isolated, because in isolation, we may not know how best to support them, or they support us. In other words, there is a mutually beneficial outcome when we know where to be found, when we know where to find, and we can build a stronger community, even if we don't live in the same neighborhood. So,
sorry to interrupt, but practically speaking, let's say I'm a student at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, or maybe at TCU in Texas. What kind of support should I expect from you?
Well, you name it. If you're a student living in any of the states, or you are new to this country, there are sometimes the students may need a place to stay in the summertime when school is out. They may not be going back to Africa or whatever country they may have come from. One, they may be by themselves, and sometimes it gets very cold in some part of the country. They need to know where to find resources, whether it's coats, boots, jackets, and all that, or even an opportunity to visit another state, because sometimes students or any family members may come to the U.S. The opportunity takes them to a state that may not have many Rwandans, or maybe if they were to choose, they would choose differently. If they knew someone, then they can get the support necessary to be able to say, you know what, you live in such and such a state. Have you considered coming to a warmer state where you don't have to deal with winters? And through that conversation, you may find that, or he or she may find that, I can transfer from this school to that school, or from this job to that job, and move out of this snowy or too hot of a state. So the benefits there could be social, could be academic, could be financial. And all that is intertwined in any community. And so that is a piece that any Rwandan, for that matter, should feel the flexibility if they interact with us, the support they'll get. I'll give you another example is we've had students from Rwanda, who the parents brought to America to do what they need to do. And when the summertime comes, they do not know where to leave their luggage. Something very simple. But when they find that there's a family that lives in that town where they go to school, they can bring their 5 suitcases and they'll be safe. Instead of them buying or having them stored in a locker someplace paying money, it sounds simple, but it can be distressful if they don't have that outlet. So that is what a community, I encourage community members to know where everybody is, to know what about them, and how best to pitch in if needed to support them.
Thank you so much. You've mentioned how USRCA supports Rwandans abroad, but how does Rwanda in turn benefit from its members here? And how does USRCA help build bridges between Rwandans and Americans?
Good question. First and foremost, we have a proactive embassy. So in the embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C., and the staff, they are always on a lookout to make sure that Rwandans in America are taken care of. Taken care of how? They are connected to the community, and should they need any services that may seem out of reach, they can contact the embassy and they'll get all the supporting documents for what transactions or activities they want to conduct in Rwanda. Be either they are traveling to Rwanda or just sending the documentation to Rwanda. And this usually is whether it could be IDs, identification cards, it could be passport support, it could be documentations that are needed to justify and show for what activities they want to engage in. So in other words, that the connection to the country through that embassy, we are reminded and encouraged to indeed get engaged, because sometimes I may know a need in a region of Rwanda somewhere about whatever the case, and I'm thinking a community here might be able to pitch in and help that community. The embassy can facilitate to reach the authorities on the ground in Rwanda and help us to channel appropriately the resources needed over there. And so the more of us that can participate in that kind of support of the nation, we are given the opportunity to be able to do it the right way. Because the last thing we want to do is send resources to the wrong place or miss the opportunity to send them to the appropriate place, thereby not helping in substantial ways. And when we have that facilitation, it can get more of us to participate in a legitimate concern and a place we can make that investment in. So when you think of that by itself, is not only a connector amongst ourselves, but it connects us to the country, but we are facilitated by the representatives in Washington, D.C., at the embassy, who know best how to do that. How then does each person get to know that? They have to be connected to their community, because the community leaders get to get that information, share with their community in turn participates and even gets, even not only among Rwandans only, their friends can also participate. And through that, depending what the project is or what the concern was, our friends, our neighbors, native to America, may want to go to Rwanda and indeed see. And we become ambassadors in a way that we speak to them about our country, and they get curious enough. They will go and visit, love it. Some of them have gone, loved it, and stayed. So we hope many of them get to do that. So that's how the interconnectivity and the support is tied among us and translates into supporting Rwanda, the country itself.
So this all sounds great. Let's say I want to join. How do I go about it?
The shortest distance is I want to know where you live, and chances are I can connect you with the local community leaders, and I'll give you their number, I'll give their email, and the next thing is you talk to them and they'll get you to come and meet with them, and you see them in person, and you'll know you were in isolation, but now you're in a village of Rwandans.
And how do I reach you?
Well, for me, you can reach me by phone, by email, And I'm happy to give you my number. It's 925-628-9895. And my email is yehoyada13@gmail.com. yehoyada13@gmail.com. And I'll connect you to anyone near you anytime.
So, Mr. President, looking ahead, what is your vision for this community?
My vision for this community, sir, is for this community to grow to whereby every Rwandan where they live, we know where they live. It's a word of mouth. We don't have the database to know exactly where to find everyone, but we hope that we can build a database that will allow us to know where every Rwandan is. And one of the challenges that we have sometimes is that sometimes our community members get into some kind of unpleasant situations. We've had deaths in places where we did not have an organized community. And we find out through a parent or relative from Rwanda reaching into America looking for someone near where their child perished or relative perished. They're unfortunate. Sometimes there is situations where a Rwandan gets in some kind of legal trouble away from the general society, and we find out after the fact. We want to avoid that. We want to be able to connect, and even the parents, before they send a child out to America, find out through us how their child can be supported if they're going to a state that does not have Rwandans. Or even if they have Rwandans, is there a number they can call and say, my child is going to school in Nebraska, my child's going to school in Utah, can we connect them before they arrive so that the people in Utah, the people in Nebraska will know there's a new person coming to town to support and guide them through the process. So that's my hope, that we can get there. It's a slow process, but a very necessary process.
That's great. Thank you for walking us through that. I think that brings us to our final question, unless there's anything else you'd like to add. If not, I just want to sincerely thank you for taking the time to share your story and insights with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I hope that people will heed the call, reach out, let us know how we can be of support and how we can have you join the communities. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
A huge thank you to our guest, President Yehoyada, for sharing his time, his journey, and his perspective with us. If you'd like to learn more about the Rwandan community in the United States or find out how to get involved, visit their website at usrwandancommunityabroad.org.